You are listening to The Brain Song with DJ Frogs, the world's most unlikely DJ with the world's worst microphone, on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives and more. This is Brain Song Part F.
It's really a question about how do you describe shapes, including the shape of the universe we live in, which is one of the reasons that physicists are actually very interesting in this problem. Mathematicians way back in the 19th century pretty well wrapped up describing shapes of the two-dimensional surfaces of the ordinary three-dimensional objects we're used to. And then the question is, can you generalize those questions, those methods, to higher dimensions, 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 higher dimensions.
And can you?
Well, oddly enough, you can generalize them to dimensions, 4, 5, 6 and higher. But the three-dimensional case, that one case, which is the key case that's of most interest to physicists because we live in a three-dimensional or a four-dimensional space-time universe, that one case remains unsolved. So it's very tantalizing that that's the one case that we can't solve.
People have speculated since the beginning of history on how life began. Many theories have been suggested, including the spontaneous generation of life from non-living matter, and the creation of life by a supernatural being. However, most scientists now favor the theory that life evolved from simple molecules in the Earth's atmosphere around 4 billion years ago through a series of random chemical reactions. Evidence for this was provided by an experiment performed by Stanley Miller. He recreated the conditions on the early Earth and found that organic compounds, the building blocks of living things, were formed from a mixture of gases.
Time is the concept we use to measure the passing of the existence of the universe. The motions of the Earth, Moon, and Sun provide us with our marks of time. A full day, 24 hours, is the time the Earth takes to turn once on its axis. There are 29 and a half days between two consecutive full moons. Our calendar months, which last from 28 to 31 days, are based on this lunar moon month. The Earth takes 365 and a quarter days to orbit the Sun. Our years, which are based on this, last 365 days, or 366 days every leap year. The universe contains everything that exists. Not only the Earth and everything on it, but also all the planets, stars, and galaxies, and the space in between them. The Sun, at the center of the solar system, is just one of about 100 billion stars in our galaxy, or collection of stars called the Milky Way. Astronomers have estimated that there are about 100 billion other galaxies in the universe. Most scientists think that the universe formed about 15 billion years ago in an enormous explosion called the Big Bang. They also think that the universe is expanding.
An extraordinary religious change has taken place during the past few decades, as the word God has largely disappeared from common speech, and the old religious language, attitudes, feelings, and rituals have increasingly come to be refocused around life. I discovered it when I had the idea of collecting all the philosophically and religiously interesting idioms now current in common speech, and began to notice, first, how many of them are about life, and secondly, how closely they are modeled on traditional phrases about and attitudes to God. This may be the most important religious event of the 20th century, but it has so far passed almost unnoticed. We have supposed that what's been happening has been the secularization of religion, and we have failed to see the much greater event of the sacralization of life, even though it's already deeply affected all of us. The oldest of the new idioms, such as the sanctity of life, and you only live once, can readily be traced back as far as the 1950s, but others, such as the vivid and forceful get a life, have originated only in the 1990s. The first indication that life was becoming for ordinary people a new and rather puzzling religious object was the arrival in popular language of the question, what is the meaning of life? This is a question asked by somebody for whom the old grand narratives, the old beliefs in providence and progress and future human liberation have broken down. It is a question that was earlier raised, though not quite in so many words, by Shakespeare's tragic heroes and by Schopenhauer. What is the whole tragic comedy supposed to mean? But the precise wording I quote, what is the meaning of life, reeks of the mid-1930s in Britain.
Always the arriving winds of words pour like Atlantic gales over these ears. These reefs, these foils and fenders, these shrinking and sea-scalded edges of the brainland. Rebutted and rebounding, on they coast past my remembrance, falling all unplanned. But someday, out of darkness, they'll come forth, arrowed and narrowed into my tongue's tip, speak for me, the most astonished host.
Must we forever live between rocks and hard places, with words eroding dryly? Must our verbal terrain straddle grumbling fault lines, discontinuities? Must the view be barren plateau? Rig tops broken only by wind-stunted trees? Are there no dales? No widths of greens? Chuck words across the chasms if you must. I am prepared for impact. But rather that you trudged woods with you, left the marks of journey on them, brought them, laid them down in gentle deposition.
At the end of the day, there are some issues we'll just have to park, ring fence for the future, or put on hold while we pencil in and set to the bigger picture. Let's find a window in which we're all singing from the same hymn sheet, where we cleared the air and see a level playing field long-fingered ahead of us, where goalposts haven't shifted. We could firefight while we're at the coalface and speak with synergy, the same language, broadly speaking, so to speak, or just cut to the chase. Start by putting flesh on the bones as we hit the ground running for that ballpark figure, seeing eye to eye and talking like grown-ups. It's entirely your call. And simply all freewheeling from here as we strike a balance or even a chord, it's all sound regardless. In any event, should we need to fly in the face of a downslide, run what challenged us up the flagpole to see if it flutters for that bumpy ride ahead, we could put this one to bed. Circle the wagons and bring this baby down.
Real world photodynamic therapy. PDT.
LAPD.
LA.
To LSD.
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 I see this tiny spot, tiny spot, tiny spot, tiny spot, tiny spot.
You may seem oddly hair of the dog.
There has been an argument for many centuries about where human nature comes from, what it really is, how it should be more closely defined.
A great deal of our behavior is hardwired or is susceptible to some kinds of genetic explanations. After all, that's true of other animals.
Man has no nature, as I hate for any kind of
human nature really doesn't have much to it other than a few simple drives like hunger, thirst, and sex.
Are you a worrier? And if you are, do you worry about it? If so, you're a chronic worrier.
Worry about worrying. And so anxiety begins to spiral, 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 spiral,
worry about worrying. Worry about worrying. Don't worry about worry. Don't 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 worry.
Try to worry more and lose control of the activity, and you'll soon find that if you try to worry more, The worry begins to dissipate. The worry begins to dissipate. The worry begins to dissipate.
A philosophy that there are no good and bad personality characteristics. There are just differences, and it's about understanding how those differences impact on how we relate to one another.
Over the last few weeks, we've been testing the personality of our guinea pig.
It assumes the surreal self, and it assumes that self can be discouraged or encouraged by upbringing, the kind of work you do, the kind of people you associate with.
Uncontrollable and dangerous, 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 uncontrollable and dangerous.
There are two types of belief about worry, positive beliefs and negative beliefs.
There are good dependencies and bad dependencies, good independencies and bad independencies.
Introversion or extroversion, you are either extroverted or introverted, so you are either one thing or another.
Worrying is normal. Most people worry. In fact, in one study that we conducted a few years ago on undergraduate students, we found that 79% of our students reported one significant and highly distressing worry over a two-week period. Worrying generates a potentially never-ending range of potential catastrophes. Straws in the wind. Little breeze from the straws flutter around. But if you look at all the straws, you get a general idea of a pattern underneath.
You pass through the day completely absorbed in the details of what is where you're going to hold your hands, how the person opposite you is going to coordinate with you, the materials you have to bring them through. And then every once in a while, you step back and you realize there's a breathing person sitting here who you have said, I'm going to put you completely asleep, suspend you, your breathing, paralyze all your muscles, cut you open.
I must see a wrong way round.
Floundering followed by fragments of knowledge, followed by knowledge, and occasionally a moment of elegance.
The chemical rays, 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 the chemical rays.
Book of Revelations, fire-breathing lion's head, tail made out of snakes. Who else is it gonna be?
Jesus?
Jeez! Oh, don't you kids know anything? The serpent of Rehoboam? The Well of Zohasadar? The Bridal Feast of Beth Chadruharazeb?
The Age of Miracles is not yet lost. Ain't it grand to be You've got the warrior blood in you of Tutankhamun. The paths of glory lead back to the grave. God isn't dead, he's just an underachiever. Lost for years and years, 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 years and years. Those who live by the sword die by the sword, and those that live by the pen presumably also die by the sword.
I believe that we are born with a complex neural network, which I have called a neural matrix. It produces the sense of reality of our body, generally. I think our phantom is just a natural thing.
our bodies extended in space. That's the way our brain is constructed. The neural matrix is a network of nerve cells in the brain that I believe is genetically built in, can be modified by sensory experience, and it forms the basis of our feelings of our body. This is me. I-hood. This is my pain.
It just felt as if the whole, the bottom of the world had dropped out.
It's like I'm on some wonderful drug.
Not just one type of drug, more or less every drug there was.
Light is important to us in two very different ways. Light provides us with both our sense of space and also our sense of time. Let me explain what I mean. Light reflects objects. Photons are bounced down an object, and we then use our eyes to detect that light. And that helps us build an image of a world, vision.
But of course, light also provides another light. One has to actually be a bit careful about choosing how much light to give and how fast gives the light and other things like that.
Since these drugs are activated by visible light, that means that the drug that's in the skin is going to be activated if they're exposed to bright light. That's mainly the sun. But they're going to have to protect themselves.
Somehow,
he has cobbled together a random assortment of other brainwaves into a working mind.
Look at me, Grandma. I'm a hippie. Peace, man. Groovy. Bomb Vietnam. 4 more years. Up with people.
Oh, let the good time roll. I have it going on.
I don't understand you. I don't know what you want. You're up to your own thing, and I must carry on with mine.
Says the worst thing was when I began hallucinating. I began seeing things. I began seeing people walking past me when there wasn't anybody.
I didn't want to be there and I didn't want to deal with it and I didn't want to say it and I wanted to pretend that it wasn't happening.
I have taken the void out of my mind, into my head, into my soul, into my soul,
By using psychedelic drugs, I became tuned in on a network of neurological signals and cellular wastes that radiate hundreds of millions per serpent within my body.
The kids who take LSD aren't going to fight your war.
Is a wreathing coil of smoke in the form of a serpent. From the open jaws appears the vision of the founding ancestors of the Yaxchilan dynasty.
I've never felt like this before. Have you ever felt like this before?
Simply terrified. Very dark. Place where magical things happen.
Beings at the Hammersmiths to me, real world, they are images which are half animals and half people.
Imagine what might be going on in somebody else's head, somebody else's mind. They're thinking is different from what you're.
One of the first things they said to me as I was acting was, look, there's acid in the icebox if you want to have a go, that's fine. Every time cookies were passed around, I had to put one in my pocket because I wasn't sure how much dope it had in it. And I hadn't had very much experience or any experience with drugs.
Take this hypodermic syringe.
Leaves in his creeps,
just relax. Let everything go. Now, let's put on him a full band. What's the matter?
I'm not convinced that worrying of any kind is particularly advantageous.
It seems to me that life's buggered. Humanity's buggered. And anyway, why bother? To put it plainly, why bloody bother? No time anymore, so I'm told. No time to plan, no time for second thoughts, no time to make it right, no time to let it grow.
Maybe there's something wrong with the universe.
Computer, what is the nature of the universe?
She is drawing through her tongue a thorned rope. This thorned rope is designed to draw blood from her tongue, and the drops of blood are falling then down into a receptacle containing sacred items and manuscripts.
The question is, how does the flux of ions in little bits of jelly in my brain give rise to the redness of red, the flavor of Marmite, or mutton paneer, or wine? Matter and mind seem so utterly unlike each other.
An extreme adrenaline reaction associated with the fight-flight response. This is a primitive response which in nature is intended to help escape from a predator or real physical danger. Unfortunately, at the human level, one of the things that activates it is a fear of being socially humiliated or outcast.
Automatic, 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 autom
The unknown medieval English mystic said the cloud could not be pierced by the intellect, but only by sharp dart of love.
In one of the exorcists, the mystic also tells us
we cannot live without a cloud of unknowing
unless we put a cloud of forgetting below us.
If ever you come to this cloud and live and work in it as I bid you, just as this cloud of unknowing is above you, between you and your God, in the same way you must put beneath you a cloud of forgetting between you and all the creatures that have ever been made. It seems to you, perhaps, that you are very far from him because this cloud of unknowing is between you and your God. However, if you give it proper thought, you are certainly much further away from him when you do not have the cloud of forgetting between you and all the creatures that have ever been made. Whenever I say all the creatures that have ever been made, I mean not only the creatures themselves, but also all their works and circumstances. I make no exceptions, whether they are bodily creatures or spiritual, nor for the state or activity any creature, whether these be good or evil. In short, I say that all should be hid under the cloud of forgetting.
Scary old LSD, synthesized in 1943 by Albert Hoffman.
Sensory experiences.
In the 50s, the CIA had taken a long, hard look at LSD.
Pain volunteers to take the tablet and report its effect.
Yeah, look, I can explain everything. Go ahead. In the beginning, the universe was a huge, dense mass of all the things it now contains, squashed or rather drawn into itself, bound within an infinite blanket of antimatter or non-matter, or that which isn't bound by anything. And then, a sudden reverse of polarity, the positive becomes negative, the negative positive, and bang! All this held close is thrown outwards. Everything that is already out begins to rush inwards at the same time. Matter and antimatter hurtling past each other at infinite speed. The friction lights the stars and spins the planets.
Alors, l'acétone,
à l'époque de Rabelais, on consommait beaucoup d'œufs, peut-être plus que maintenant. Et là, j'ai choisi de vous faire des œufs pochés. C'est un petit peu ce qu'on appelle maintenant les œufs à la tripe.
The adrenaline reaction is also, unfortunately, in the English language, confused by the word nerves, because nerves describes the emotion of fear. But nerves also describes the nerviness or shakiness of the adrenaline reaction.
Be aware of the physiological symptoms, the increases in heart rate, blood pressure, sweatiness of the palms, butterflies in the stomach, those sorts of things.
You have to realize that conscious experience is the whole wide world that you see, hear, touch, feel. Your brain is constructing that real world in a medium of conscious perception. The philosophers have coined the word quale in the singular, meaning a particular quality, or qualia in the plural, many qualities. So qualia means things like the color red, the sound of a high C on a violin, the smell of a rose, all of those things. Now, the hard problem of consciousness is that nobody at present understands how the brain creates that medium, how it creates qualia. Because the things that go on in the brain, as studied by neurophysiologists, are quite different. The way in which the brain communicates a message all the way from one part to another is by releasing packets of chemicals in the space between one nerve cell and the next. And of course, there are literally billions of these cells and even more billions of connections. So you've got all of these electrical and chemical events going on in the brain, and nobody at present understands how any of those electrochemical goings on can give rise to, for example, the sound of high C on a violin. You can stop and think, what does that sound like, and ask yourself the question, and ask the same question again for the smell of a rose, or the color red, or whatever you choose, and nobody has an answer to that question. That is the hard problem of consciousness.
Oh, Lordy, that is one surprising sight.
That is hideous.
Wait a minute. This is the prophecy.
The black mountains were invisible. So I saw one white, brilliant, dazzling cloud where the mountains ought to have been. This cloud grew more white and dazzling every moment. In a clearer burst of sunlight, scattered the mist and revealed the truth. This brilliant white cloud that I had been looking and wondering at was the mountains and snow. For the mountaintops, and the mountain stood up in the clear blue heaven, a long rampart line of dazzling, glitterous snow. I stood rooted to the ground, struck with amazement. An intense glare of primrose light streaming from the west, deepening into rose and crimson. There was not a flake of snow anywhere but on the mountains. All the rest of the world of effort lay ruddy, rosy brown. The sudden contrast was tremendous, electrifying. I wanted someone to admire the sight with me. A man came whistling along the road, riding upon a cart horse. I would have stopped him and drawn his attention to the mountains, but I thought he would probably consider me mad. He didn't seem to be the least struck by the great sight, but it seemed to me as if one might never see such a sight again. The great white rain, which at first gleamed in intense, brilliant yellow light, gradually deepened into the sky, the indescribable red tinge that snow filled the sea in sunset light. And then the grey, cold tint crept up the great slopes, quenching the rosy warmth which lingered still a few minutes on the summit. Soon, all was cold and grey, and all that was left of the brilliant, gleaming range was the dim, ghostly phantom of the mountain rampart, scarce distinguishable in the grey sky.
This tab of acid. And everything was going a bit hazy and a bit weird, and colours are going and all that. And suddenly there's a rap on the door, and I have to go on set.
And I'm playing a, thank God, a deaf mute. And I'm playing a, thank God, a deaf mute. Driving a hearse, an elaborate hearse with black feathers all over it, across the desert, with Stella Stevens lying in a coffin behind her. It's pretty heavy going, this thing. And they built a little village out just outside the suburbs of Madrid on a piece of very cheap real estate.
Just beyond the United States Air Force Base.
So underneath the horses' bellies, you can see the F-111's taking off. It's a bit confusing.
Anyway, I have to sit on the wagon and the two horses there, and I've got a rifle in a sheath, double-barreled gun, and the director comes up and he says, right now, when I say action, I want you to take the double-barrel gun and I want you to fire two shots between the horses' heads, straight ahead. Put the rifle back in a sheath as you come down, pull your two guns as you go across the square to the church. I want you to fire one, two, three, four into each corner. I want you to drop your guns. I want you to go into the church and up to the first level of the church tower, where you will find four pistols on the windowsill. I want you to fire each of those into each corner of the square. It doesn't matter if they don't go off, we can put the sound on afterwards.
Oh dear.
By then, the horses had all gone kind of pink. And they were talking to each other in Spanish.
Hasta la vista, baby.
I have this extraordinary image of seeing an Errol Flynn pirate film years and years ago where they bring one ship alongside another and they throw these grappling irons down. And I thought,
if I can get my grappling irons down,
you pull your guns,
you fire them each corner, you go up,
up to the church or to the windowsill, and you fire.
When I say action, I want you to take the double barrel gun and I want you to fire two shots between the horse's head, straight ahead. When I say action, I want you to take the double barrel gun and I want you to fire two shots between the horse's head, straight ahead. Put the rifle back in the sheath as you come down, pull your two guns as you go across the square to the church. I want you to fire one, two, three, four into each corner. I want you to drop your guns. I want you to go into the church and up to the first level of the church tower, where you will find four pistols on the windowsill. I want you to fire each of those into each corner of the square. It doesn't matter if they don't go off, we can put the sound on afterwards. Can put the sound on afterwards.
Great, I got it. And I kept the grappling irons going
in my mind, and I got
done. And they said action, and I
thung. And this wonderful rhythm started for dunk, 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 dunk,
down off the wagon, dunk, 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 Cut it, print it.
Thank you, Dudley, you can go home.
Amazing.
amazing.
Going tink, 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 and they sounded like a priest bell. And I'd tripped and I'd become, and I'd tripped and I'd become, and I'd tripped and I'd become, and I'd become. And I was boshed, I was knocked into a beautiful curving arc, landing and depositing, going tink, 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 and they sounded like a priest bell. And I'd tripped and I'd become, and I'd tripped and I'd become, and I'd tripped and I'd become, and I'd become. And I was boshed, I was knocked into a beautiful curving arc, landing and depositing.
Alors, là, c'est un...
À l'époque de Rabelais, on consommait beaucoup d'œufs, peut-être plus que maintenant. Et là, j'ai choisi de faire des œufs pochés. C'est un petit peu ce qu'on appelle maintenant les œufs à la tripe.
That from now on, the thinking about the big questions had started. Never stop.
A new freedom, but one which then closed in.
Did British Egyptian proposals on cannabis designed to deny the British their revenue from cannabis in India?
Well, it's an amusing book to read, and it's a very well-researched book, and it's eminently readable, but I'm not convinced by the overall thesis. For example, if it was simply an imperial question, then I don't think you would have what you have today, which is virtually a worldwide prohibition. Secondly, of course, it appeared on the poisons register in the 1920s, not as the result of any imperial decision, but as a result of a decision by the pharmaceutical society.
Poison schedule. The reason they did this was because of an incident of police bungling and media scaremongering in the London West End in the early 1920s, when the police actually arrested two North Africans for supplying opium, when in fact they were simply dealing in cannabis, which at the time they were perfectly legally entitled to do. The police stoked a media campaign against cannabis, and it seems that the Pharmaceutical Society didn't conduct any medical research into the issue. They simply responded to this media scare story.
Even just read this book from Dr. Mills's point of view. What strikes you is that from centuries back, the link between cannabis and mental illness was already being recognised and being researched. And indeed, until he takes us up to the 1920s, there is a great deal of coverage in this book about the various experiments that were done to try and ascertain exactly how dangerous cannabis was.
Yeah, absolutely, and I would make it very clear that the book is neither an argument for or against cannabis, rather it's an appraisal of the history of
cannabis. Now, you told our researcher that you were a beer and whiskey man, so we know you have no interest in this.
Strictly a beer and whiskey man, I'm afraid. So I think the interesting point about Anne's bringing up science there is that the book does demonstrate that scientists are as divided now as they always have been on the issue of cannabis, and that there have been arguments for and against in the long history of cannabis in the British. The origins of the worldwide ban are very much lie in this League of Nations decision in the 1920s, and the reason so many countries have laws on cannabis is because they were forced to ratify this League of Nations decision, which, as I argue in the book, very much lies in the politic in an international conference, and certainly wasn't supported by any scientific or medical evidence.
So it all dates back to...
I don't buy that. For a start, that rather ignores the fact that since that time, and you're talking about the 20s, you know, we're now into a new century, that since that time, most Western democracies, at the very least, have reviewed their drugs laws many times. And have always come to the same conclusion. Which is that for a series of reasons, both health and law and order, they should stay prohibited. So I really don't buy into that. It's always tempting to try and trace something's origin and pretend that the story stopped there. It didn't stop there.
Canvas Britannica.
You are listening to The Brain Song with DJ Frogs, the world's most unlikely DJ with the world's worst microphone, on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives and more. Now, just have time to squeeze in the song that really gets me going in the mornings. It's Bill and Ben with Nuts.
Who love the nuts? We love the nuts. Bill and Ben love the nuts. Slowcoach love the nuts. Buck Scamper love the nuts. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Wake up, and it's a lovely day. Get up, and everything is okay. I see the Scamper has only this on her mind. To gather all of the nuts she can find. Slow coach, I want to help her, I know. And Bri the Magpie, well, she is flying down low, so she can see them and tell her boys where they are. They're all around us, so we don't have to go far. Scamper loves the nuts.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Nuts, 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 nuts. Scamper, she knows that she can depend on everybody, but nuts are on Bill and Ben, cos they've been laughing at all the nuts they have got, and now they're hidden down in their own flower pots. Boo the Hedgehog, well, he is mighty confused. So many nuts and so little time to choose. But now it's over, because we've found everyone. It's time to eat them, now that the finding is done. Scamper loves the nuts. Come on, Scamper, show us your nuts.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Nuts, 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 nuts. Nuts, 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 everywhere, pile them up, we'll all get a share. Everyone you know will be there. We all love the nuts. Oh, nuts, so divine. Counting up the nuts that we find. Always room for more every time. We all love the nuts.
Nuts, 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 nuts,
nuts, nuts.